What do you think is the difference between a prayer request and a prayer burden? Have you ever considered it? Have you ever thought about the fact that there is a difference between the two? So let me pose that question one more time. What do you think is the difference between a prayer request that somebody would give you, something you're going to pray about, and a prayer burden, something that is heavy on your heart? Now, as you consider that, you know, in what ways do we pray differently over something that would be classified or considered a prayer burden? Listen, grab your Bible, come on back in just a few minutes, and we're going to look in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 at the difference between a prayer request and a prayer burden. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to our Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day has gone well. A moment ago I mentioned we're going to be looking at some scriptural passages out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. So if you haven't already, go ahead and turn over to those passages with us so you can be with us as we go through God's Word. Now, as we go through these passages in this text, I want you to consider the question that we led into our Bible study with about the difference between a prayer request and a prayer burden. This is really defined in the passages that we're going to look at today. So we're going to go ahead and look at our reading where Hannah prays for a son out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're actually going to begin reading at verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. It says, this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all of the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the Lord of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass that in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, we come to you now, and we just ask and pray that you would truly open our heart. Lord, I pray that you will give us wisdom and insight into the difference between a prayer request and a prayer burden. Lord, I pray that within our hearts you would give us passion for those things that burden us. Lord, every great thing that you have ever done has started with a burden. And because of a burden, it has instilled and created a passion within us to see something happen or take place. So Father, right now, I just pray that you will help us. Help us, give us understanding of your word. Lord, use this, your messenger, during this time that people would truly hear you, that Holy Spirit would work and move in each and every heart and life that is tuned into this broadcast today. And Lord, we will so be careful to praise you for what you will do. And Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, in our scripture passage today, in our story, there was a man named Elkanah, and he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Okay. So think about that. Consider that for just a few moments. Is it God's will for man to have more than one wife? Now, the answer to that, particularly in today's society, is actually no. But as we read this story and as we understand some history, we understand a little bit more about why he had multiple wives in regard to his particular relationship with Hannah. The word tells us, and you'll hear this again, but in our passage today, it tells us that Hannah was not able to have children. She was barren. Now, having children in that day was a big deal. I mean, you know, women felt like that was their sole purpose, and to have a man child, to leave someone to carry on not only the family name, but also you know, to take care of moms when they got older and take care of family members. But what had happened was Hannah was barren. She wasn't able to have children. And of course, you know, Elkanah was going to have children. So what did he do? He took on another wife by the name of Peninnah. Now, in this polygamous relationship, there arose a problem between Hannah and Peninnah. We find that in verses 3-8 of our text today. Now, if you were able to pick it out as we were going along, essentially what happened was, and I'll just say it this way for lack of saying it any better, Peninnah essentially made fun of Hannah because Hannah was not able to have children. That was a mark in that day. In fact, in that day, it was looked at that if a woman was not able to have children, she had either committed some heinous sin in her life, and that was her punishment, or the woman felt like she was completely useless as a woman. So, you know, you can imagine these two women are living in the same household. Both of them are married to Elkanah, and Peninnah is creating problems for Hannah by making fun of her and putting before her the fact that she doesn't have children. And it grieved Hannah terribly. It hurt her feelings. It made her feel like she was less of a woman. And that's important. You need to remember that as we continue on in our scripture. Just think about that relationship and imagine having to live in that day in and day out. Now, I'm not saying that Peninnah did that when Elkanah was around, but in private, we know that was something that, based on our scripture, was taking place between the two women of the household. So, essentially, this was a problem that had arisen between Hannah and Peninnah. Now, because of that, Hannah is weeping. She is not eating. And some of us understand what happens and how we handle stress in our lives. Sometimes when there's something big that's going on in our life, we're not hungry, we won't eat. And sometimes it goes on for a continued period of time where you actually begin to lose weight. So this was really, really bothering Hannah to the point that she's not eating anything. She's crying all the time, just day in and day out. Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, well, Peninnah must not have had a heart to be able to do that to her and put Hannah in that type of a situation. No matter how you think about her, the facts are the facts. This is what position and condition that Hannah was in. She was very, very sorrowful because she was not able to bear Elkanah a child, specifically a male child or a son. Okay, so what happens is Hannah makes a vow to the Lord that we see, you know, she is weeping. She goes there, and in verses 9-11, we see that vow. She says this, beginning with verse 9, She says, it says, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. And this is Hannah. She's in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now I want you to picture for just a moment this scene. You know, she's gone to church, so to say. She is there at the altar and she is praying and she is pouring out her heart. She is weeping bitterly over the situation that she's in, the conditions that she is in. And she is just crying out to the Lord in anguish. And then verse 11 tells us that she made a vow and she said this. She said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all of the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now that's a pretty stiff promise. She makes this vow. She says, Lord, if you will remember me, if you will give me a male child, then what I'll do, I'll give him back to you. You know, just in short, I'll give him back to you all of the days of his life. You know, I will return him to your service. Now think about that for just a moment. That meant a lot, particularly back in that day when you had the days of the temple, you had the priest. She was basically saying, I want to give him, you know, back to the, you know, to the temple to serve the Lord all of the days of his life, even if that meant not being with his mom. So Hannah makes this vow as she prayed. Now, when she was doing so, she was being observed. She was being watched by Eli, who was the priest. Now, in verses 12 through 14, you know, Eli makes an assumption about Hannah. Now, as we go through it, what had happened was Eli saw what was going on. Well, let's talk about for just a moment what it was that was going on. As Hannah cried out, even though she wept bitterly and as she was crying out to the Lord, she was not doing that in an audible voice. The tears certainly were streaming, but as she was there, what she was doing was she was praying within her heart, but yet her lips were moving. You know, some of us have done that before, or there's something that you've been reciting, even though you haven't been audible with what you're saying. You know, you might be lip syncing a song or something, or you might be thinking out loud to yourself without words coming out. You know, it's kind of like when you're no voice is coming out, no words are coming out. But Eli, the priest, is watching Hannah. And she sees her condition. She sees that broken condition. She sees it. He sees the tears that are coming out of her eyes. And she sees her lips moving, but he's not hearing anything. And so what does Eli do? How does he respond? Yeah, he misjudges her. He looks at her and he goes over and he says, Hannah, basically, you need to be gone. You know, why do you show up like this drunk? So he was thinking that she was drunk and that was the reason why she was in the condition that she was in. And then, of course, you know, Hannah corrects him about the situation and says to Eli, she said, no, I haven't been drinking anything. I'm not drunk. What I'm doing is I am here today and I am pouring out my soul to the master. I am grieved deeply and I am crying out to him. So when Eli hears this and understands, and I'm sure that as he got closer to her, he understood that he had misjudged the situation and misjudged her, at least at that particular point. And then what he does is he says something to her. Okay, let's go over to verses 15 and 16. Yeah, after he gets the real story about what's taking place and what's going on, in verse 15, we pick up where Hannah is answering Eli, and she says this. Verse 15 says, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink and have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. So she kind of puts Eli straight on what's taking place. She says, no, I'm not drunk. I am just a broken individual. And I have come, you know, to the house of the Lord. And I am crying out to God Almighty that he might hear my prayer, that he might hear my complaint. And so how does Eli respond after he gets the real picture? Verse 17 says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Now that is a pretty heavy statement, especially back in that day. I mean, she didn't tell Eli what she asked for, but Eli is saying, you know, may the Lord answer your prayer. May the Lord give you your request. Well, you know, oftentimes, you know, you might come to somebody and say, well, I'll tell you what, I've been burdened and this is what I've been praying about. And they might look at you and say, well, you know what? I hope your prayer gets answered, or maybe your prayer will get answered. That's not the way that Hannah viewed this, because in verse 18, it says this. It says, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, why was her face no longer sad? Her face was no longer sad because the faith that she had in the fact that God was going to answer her prayer, that God was going to not only give her a child, but give her a male child, that he was going to dot every I and cross every T in regard to the request that she had asked. Now, essentially, Eli, the priest, had said, you know, essentially, well, God's going to answer your request. Whatever you've asked for, God's going to answer it. So Hannah had enough faith that as she went away from there, it completely changed her countenance. You know, she went, she sat down, she had a meal, and she was counting on, she was trusting in, she was putting her faith in the fact that God was who he says he is and that he would do what he says that he would do. And Eli the priest had given her confirmation that God was going to do just that. And her faith allowed her to walk away encouraged. Her faith allowed her to walk away knowing that God was going to answer that prayer. Now think about that for a moment. Consider that for just a minute. That's pretty big, because a lot of us sit back and we pray with a little bit of faith. We pray and say, well, Lord, this is what I'd really like to see you do. And let me interject something right here. We're not saying that as we pray, we're trying to bring God around to our way of thinking. God has a plan and God has a purpose. And I want to remind you that sometimes God says no, because what we're asking is not in keeping with his purpose. Now that really goes back to the fact of whether or not we are walking with our Savior every day. That means, do we know what he is? Like the Lord's Prayer said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In other words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we walking with the Lord enough to know what his will on earth is for us as he has it prescribed in heaven? You know, sometimes it's more about, well, Lord, this is what I want. This is the way I want to see it. But when we really see and understand God's word, the idea is that we pray asking God for the things that he wants in light of the way that he wants them to take place and in the way that he wants them to happen. So, you know, first of all, Eli has judged Hannah in a bad way after he gets the picture. You know, I don't know whether he felt maybe embarrassed or sorry or whatever, but he said, well, may the Lord grant your request, not even knowing what it was that she had asked him for, or what it was that she'd been praying about. Now, yeah, Eli gave Hannah words of assurance. That was what really helped her. He confirmed, your prayer is going to be answered. And Hannah's response that we read there in verses 18 and 19, where she got up, she went back, she's going to have a meal. Yet now she's sitting there going, I know. Did you get that in her heart? I know that God is going to deliver. I know that God is going to answer this prayer. So her response, Hannah's response, is a reflection of her faith in God the Father. Now, you see where that stings a little bit? You see, your answers or your response and my response are also going to be a reflection of our faith in God Almighty. So think about that for a moment. The things that you are asking for, the things that you are praying for. Now, I want to pause right here for just a moment, because when we started off our broadcast, I asked you what was the difference between a prayer request and a burden. Now, you know, when somebody says, hey, look, you know, I want you to, you know, to pray about something for me or with me, we will take that, we will receive that, and in all honesty, we will pray, we will be asking for God's will. That's a whole lot easier to do when we're praying for somebody else. But what had happened was Hannah had found herself in a situation, in a predicament, in a place where she was being made fun of, in a place that this affected her every day of her life. It was a situation that made her feel less of a woman. It was a life-changing thing for her. And because of that, she became burdened over it. Now, I said before, there's a difference between a prayer request and a prayer burden. Some of you understand what I'm talking about when I say a prayer burden. Maybe you had a child, and that child, as they grew up, you know, your heart became extremely burdened for them because they didn't know the Lord, or your heart became burdened for them because they were not walking in the ways of the Lord. And diligently, not just daily, but multiple times a day, that burden drove you to your knees praying for that lost or wayward son or daughter, or it was something that moved you. It was constantly on your mind. It became a burden. You know what a burden is? A burden is a heavy weight to carry. So what are the prayer burdens that you have? You know, are we really burdened for lost people? You see, if we're not burdened for lost people, then we're not praying for them in the same way as we would a typical prayer request. If it doesn't matter to us that people die and go to hell, particularly those that are close to us, family members, neighbors, people that we know, good friends, if that doesn't matter to us, then we're not going to pray with a burden. Hannah is a perfect example of a woman who had a burden on her heart, and she took it to the Lord, and she prayed vehemently, she prayed diligently, and she prayed persistently. Now remember that word persistently, because that's going to come up again in just a moment. Persistence in something goes a long way, and even in our spiritual life, okay? Think about it for a minute. It says that Hannah went to the Lord, and in verse 15 it says she poured out her soul before the Lord. She laid it all on the line. And in doing so, the tears were coming from her eyes. She told the Lord everything. She told the Lord how she hurt about not being able to fully be a woman and function as a mother and provide a man's son for her husband. And it broke her heart, and she cried out to God for that. Okay. Now, I ask you this question. Have you ever poured out your soul to the Lord? Some of you are sitting there, and you can remember that time when you were in that prayer closet. There was nothing in the world that was going on around you that you could think of, because you were deep into your talking with God. You were hurting. You had tears coming out of your eye. You were confessing. You were begging before the Lord. You just poured your soul out to the Lord in that time and in that moment. Now, if you've ever done that, then you can understand what was taking place and what was going on with Hannah. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that Hannah was persistent in her prayer. This is not the first time that she had prayed that God would bless her with a male child. But yet, it this was almost like the climax of what was taking place there. It was like it was getting where it was almost unbearable for her. She had been praying. And she had been praying persistently. Remember I said a moment ago, I want you to remember that word persistent. Persistent means you are sticking with it. Persistent means you're not giving up. Persistent means you're going to be there day in and day out, moment by moment, sometimes second by second, crying out to the Lord. Now, there's a passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, I want to share with you. And it's actually verses 1 through 8. Of Luke 18, and it'll be familiar to most of you, but it says this. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that the men might ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Did you get what that says? I'm going to pause right there for a moment. What he's saying is, this woman is bugging me to death. I am going to give her what she wants, because if I don't, she is bugging me to death. She is wearing me down, continually coming with this request to avenge her avenger. So then verse 6 of Luke 18 says this. It says, Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In other words, what he's saying is, do we really pray with the same kind of faith that is found in this persistent widow of the Gospel of Luke? Do we find this kind of faith in what we see in Hannah, that we're going to keep on going? We are going to be relentless. We're going to have that bulldog tenacity that we're going to latch on, and we're not letting go. Do you have that sort of prayer burden? Did you pick that up? Not request. Burden. Is your heart burdened in that regard? Now, I've said before, as we do our Bible studies, one of the things to look for are some examples to follow. So as you look at this passage, what are important lessons on prayer that we can learn from Hannah and that we can learn from this persistent widow? And you know what that is? Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. Maybe the timing is not right for it. But folks, listen, do not give up. How many times, I wonder how many times we give up on something in prayer, only maybe later on in eternity to realize that we were only a prayer or two away from God providing what it was that we were asking for in regard to a need, in regard to praying along the lines of what the scripture tells us to pray. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, are we persistent? Are we just like, well, I prayed two or three times and God didn't answer my prayer, so forget that. That's just a waste of time, or God's not real, or God's not there, or God's not listening. So many things that over the years that I've heard people say, because God didn't answer their prayer request their way. Now, you have to ask yourself, was it in God's will for Hannah to have a child? Absolutely it was. If not, she wouldn't have had one. You know, are we praying to ask God to change his mind? No. What we should be doing is praying that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, give us the spiritual wisdom and give us the spiritual insight to know what your will as prescribed in heaven is, so that it may be done here on earth. And are we persistent? Are we sticking with it? Man, I'll tell you one thing. Today, we live in a society that commitment is just non-existent. Nobody wants to commit to anything. That's Christian people. That's co-workers. That's neighbors. That's family. That's friends. Let me give you that example. Hey, look, man, we need to do something together. Let's go get lunch sometime. Well, that sounds great. We'll do that. Well, listen, if you don't make the date and put a day and a time right there, it never happens, does it? You know, it doesn't happen. Are you persistent in praying for those people that you know you need to pray for, in praying for the lost? Does the church as a body pray for lost souls? Have we lost sight of what we are as a church? And have we lost sight of who we're supposed to be as God's people? God called us to make disciples. That means evangelism, but that also means in teaching them to follow him. Are we doing that? Or are we showing up to church every Sunday as a consumer? What you got for me today, preacher? What you got for me today, choir? What you got for me as far as music? Now, it's not to say you can't be blessed by that, but listen, what are you putting into worship? What are you putting into hearing what it is that God has to say? Where are your prayers? Are they just simple requests, or are they burdens of your heart? Listen, God is wanting to put a burden in your heart that you might have diligent, persistent prayer, that you might see him do some great and wonderful things. You know, what relationship does persistency in prayer have with our faith? You know what? You can't do it for just a few times. I've said this before. You know, I've known people and they said, well, you know what? I bought a gym membership and I went for 3 days and my physique didn't change and I didn't lose a pound. So I just quit. Like, no, listen, if you're going to wind up being the guy that's ripped and got the muscles and you're going to keep the weight under control, then you're going to have to go every day. You're going to have to be persistent with that. You're going to have to stay on top of it. Are we as persistent with our faith and our prayer life as we are in other areas of our life? Now, I just had a thought that made me chuckle and laugh inside, and I'm laughing outside too, because what if we were as persistent in our prayer life as we were with our meals? You know, some people eat 3 meals a day, some eat 33 meals a day, some don't. But listen, most people don't go a day without getting something to eat. Well, you know what? This is spiritual food right here. Your prayer is spiritual food for you. Why is it that we're spiritually starving to death? Where is our faith? Where is our persistence? Yeah, and you know, I think about Hannah. She went away that day knowing that God was going to answer her prayer, that God was going to provide for her not only a child, but a male child to fulfill the request that she had asked of him. Now, I want you to think for a moment about a time in your life when you persistently poured out your soul to the Lord over a prayer burden, not just request, a prayer burden. You were praying in a different way when you were praying about this. Can you think about that? I want you to think about, you know, for a moment what that was like when you were doing that, you know? And then I want you to think in your heart and your mind how God answered your prayer. Some of you may still be waiting on that. Some of you may be sitting back saying, well, God didn't answer my prayer at all. Give him time. He answered your prayer. Yeah, it might not have been what you wanted or the way that you wanted your prayer to be answered, but God has answered your prayer. Sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's wait. You know, are you going to be faithful and persistent enough to continue to carry that that prayer burden to him? I always think when I think about a subject like this, I'm always thinking about this one particular lady who had shared with me, and I got to be a part of this journey with her that her husband was lost, and for not days, not weeks, not months, not years, but decades, she diligently and persistently prayed for his salvation. She was burdened about that. And man, what victory it was the day that her husband accepted Jesus Christ. But you know what? She never quit praying for him over the decades, every time, multiple times a day. Lord, you know, save my husband. Lord, bring an example in his life. Lord, speak to him through your word. Speak to him through individuals. Speak to him through me. Speak to him. And she was so diligent. The reason she was diligent was because she was burdened. You pray differently when you have a burden than when you do over a simple prayer request. Are we burdened today? You know, when you think about how God's answered your prayers, God's answered your prayers in multiple ways. Like I said before, I gave you a list and I said, sometimes he's answered with no, sometimes he's answered with yes, and sometimes he's answered with wait. You know, just hold on. The timing is not right. You know, think about this. Every time, every week when we come together, even when you come together on Wednesdays with us on this broadcast, you know, we pray and ask God for revival, and we ask God for spiritual awakening in our land. We ask for that as we meet as a church. Lord, wake America up. Lord, bring revival. Now, I want to mention something about revival as well. You know, for something to be revived, that means that it had to have life before. You get it? Revival is really for God's people. It is for Christian people that we might be reignited for him, that we might be revived in our walk and in our faith. You know, and Lord, we're asking you and crying out for you for a spiritual awakening. And see, here's the thing, folks. It's got to begin with you. You need to pray, God, give me personally a spiritual awakening. And then, Lord, may that spiritual awakening spread to my church. And then, Lord, may it spread to my community. And may it spread to the United States of America. And may it spread worldwide. God, give us a spiritual awakening, because I can make you a promise. Right now, America is asleep at the wheel when it comes down to spiritual things. I never thought I would ever live to see the day that we would be in the situation that we're in when it comes down to values and morals and spirituality. We need a spiritual awakening, but it starts individually with me, and then it spreads. Will you let it start in you? Think about it. It is important for us to be persistent in our prayer burdens. For all believers, it's very important, because you know what? God looks at us and he sees us flippantly just going through life and being a consumer and a what's in it for me. You know, God wants you to serve him. He wants you to be a part of the solutions. That's the really cool part, is that God wants you to be a part of the solutions to the problems that you bring before him. And he can use you to do that if you will only let him. So what do we need to do? As we consider these things today, and as we consider these things this week, I'm asking you, do you just have prayer requests, or do you have some prayer burdens? And then in evaluating that, we need to pray that God will give us persistent prayer burdens specifically for revival and spiritual awakening in this land that we call the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now notice that one word, persistent. Listen, man, everybody starts good, but how are you going to finish? Are you persistent to say, I am going to do this and I'm not going to let anything stop me? And by the way, if it is truly a burden, then you'll be able to do it. Some requests you may not be able to, but when it is a burden on your heart, you will not miss a moment that you have an opportunity to get in the presence of the Father, and you will be persistent when it comes to the prayer burdens. So I guess the big question that I ought to ask today is this: what are your prayer burdens? What is it that God has put on your life? And listen, if He hasn't, then I want to encourage you to begin right there to seek the Father and say, Lord, I need some burdens. I need to be burdened about something. I need to be burdened about lost people. I need to be burdened about wayward people. I need to be burdened about my service for you. And I need to be burdened about other service for you. I need to be burdened about my church. Because if there's no burden, there will be no persistency. So what is your burden? Now, for some of us, we just sat back and had a real interesting awakening and said, I got a lot of prayer requests, but I don't have a burden. Then listen, don't just grab one. Seek the Lord about what burden He can put in your heart that He can use you to become a change agent. And when He does, may you be persistent. Have that bulldog tenacity in your prayer life, in your faith, and as you seek the Father. Man, what a great day that'll be. That's what we're going to pray in just a few moments, that God will give us that persistent prayer burden for each other, for the lost, for revival, for spiritual awakening in our land. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week are. This week, we're actually going to be looking at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 6 through 1 Samuel chapter 10. Once again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 6 through 1 Samuel chapter 10. And next week, we're going to look at Israel demanding a king. Then that's going to come out of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 22. So spend a little extra time in that particular area as you do your Bible study this week. And may God bring about a burden in your life that you can see Him do some great and incredible things, not only through you, but also in you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we do so asking that you truly would help us to understand the difference between a simple prayer request and a burden that has been placed in our heart and a burden that has been placed in our life. Lord, right now, I just ask that you would help us to identify those burdens that you're going to place within us. And then as you do so, that you would give us the persistency in prayer to not let go until we see that burden become lifted from our heart or from our life. Lord, I pray today that you will truly grant revival and spiritual awakening, first of all, to each of us individually, Lord, to us as a church, and then, Lord, to us as a country, a nation, one nation under God, and, Lord, that it might spread throughout this whole wide world. Lord, you can do it. Help us to be diligent, to find the burdens, and be persistent to carry them to your presence. And then, Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for what we know that you'll do. And, Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Folks, I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you. If you're in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love for you to join us at Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, right across from the Military Academy. God bless you. I hope to see you this coming Sunday.